Please turn with me to the book of Luke, the book of Luke. I shall be reading chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. 38 to 42. Verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." This is the word of God.
A very blessed Mother's Day to all mothers in our midst. This year, the speaker for Mother's Day takes on a different form. A father is sharing the Mother's Day message, and the reason is simple. There's not many women preachers in the Presbyterian Church. But in any case, the authority of the Word of God lies not on the person, but the Word itself. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the mothers and those who take up the role of mothers in our midst. We pray that as we listen to your word, speak through our mothers and all of us, that we may know your heart's desire. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How would you describe the role of a mother? If you were to write a job description of a mother, what would you write? I think it is very difficult to list everything that a mother do, and I thought this picture speaks it all, the closest we can get. A mother is probably a combination of a number of professionals. She has to be a driver, a teacher, a nurse, a pastor, a cook, a cleaner, and even a clown at the same time. And I believe there's no such thing as a working mother or a non-working mother. All mothers are working 24/7. This picture tells us the work hours of a mother. There's no day off in this role. Even on Mother's Day, mothers still have to work. Now, if you follow our church Instagram, there is a tribute to all mothers. I like one of our youth contribution. And he say this, "My mother don't care. When I have a hand-foot-mouth disease, when I had hand-foot-mouth disease, only she did not care about my illness and came close to take care of me." I thought that was very heartwarming. She didn't care about the illness, she came close, even if it's a contagious disease. The last person a mother would think of is herself. I learned at the marriage retreat last week that when there is an impending danger to a child, a father thinks rationally what to do, but the mother pounds on instinct. The moment she senses a danger, she will move in. She don't think for herself or her safety. And you see this at meal times also, isn't it? When there's a limited portion of a dish like a fish or a chicken, the mother will serve everyone first. And then she herself will take the leftover or the scraps that is balanced. And then she'll tell you, it's okay, I like this part. Mothers are always in the ministry of giving and serving. A Christian mother serves the Lord by serving her family. And that is a full-time calling and service. However, our passage does highlight that there is a concern if we are serving to the point of neglecting our own spiritual growth and needs. And that is something that Luke reminds us of. There can be a danger in much serving if we neglect our relationship with the Lord. Mothers, how is your walk with the Lord today? Are you finding refreshment and encouragement in your service to the Lord and your service to the family? Are you serving out of full tank of God's word and encouragement, finding encouragement from there? Or are you serving out of reserves? Our passage today pays prominent attention to women. And it tells how much the Lord cares for the woman serving at home. He cares for their spiritual health also. And as a church, we have a responsibility to care for our mothers, not just their physical well-being, but also their spiritual health. Verse 38 starts with, as they went on their way, as Jesus and his disciples went on their way. If you look into the passages earlier, Jesus has been on the move. It's a busy ministry. He has just conducted a mission trip involving 72 disciples, debriefing them. Then out of nowhere, a lawyer stood up to challenge him. What must I do to inherit eternal life? That means another unplanned teaching ministry. And Jesus taught about the Good Samaritan just before our passage. And just as Jesus entered into Martha's village, Martha invited him to her house. Now, it has been a super busy week, isn't it? Teaching ministry, mission trip. The last thing to do was to accept another invitation. Because when someone invites a rabbi into the house, it is to hear him teach about God again. It's to hear the word of God. But Jesus accepted Martha's invitation. And when Jesus accepted that invitation, it tells how much God values woman. Jesus was a Jewish rabbi. Women during Jesus' time were not given much attention, education. They're not thought about religious matters. There is a separate court in the temple for women. So it's quite startling that Jesus would enter this Martha's and Mary's home with his disciples. He would accept a common woman's invitation. And it shows that the Lord is concerned about the spiritual health of women. He wants to refresh them with his word and his fellowship. And that is who God is to us. He's never too busy for us. And he desires to commune with us when we invite him into our lives. However, the irony is this. The one who invited Jesus didn't have time for him. It was Mary. Martha's sister, who made space for Jesus. And she sat at his feet and listened to his teaching. Where is the one that invited Jesus into her house? The moment Jesus entered her doorsteps, Martha scurried off to the kitchen. And she was slaving to get things done. An irony. The one who invited Jesus didn't have time for her guests. She was too busy for him. And after a while, the story goes on to tell us that Martha got agitated. She went up to him, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me." And it looked like Martha couldn't take it anymore. This is so unfair. I'm organizing all the work while she sits down. And she commands Jesus, "Tell the other person to work." What is happening to Martha? Now, Martha meant well to provide a good service, to serve the Lord and people. But in an attempt to provide good service, she has become bitter and become angry. What is it about the serving that has gone wrong here? What is it about the serving that has gone wrong for Martha? Why did she snap? Luke includes what I think are two very important words in this passage. The first word is distracted. The word distracted in the original language means drag around. You are being dragged around. You are being pulled away. And that's what's happening to Martha. In her service, she was pulled away from Jesus. She was pulled away from the things that she wants to do for him. And what is it about the serving that distracted her and pulled her away? And there's a very interesting word here. Jesus didn't just say serving. Luke didn't just say serving. He said much serving. Martha's much serving, too much, has distracted her from her Lord, and she forgets why she invited Jesus in the very first place, which is to commune and to enjoy his company. It is possible. It is possible that our service to the Lord and to others can pull us away from the Lord himself. It could degenerate to mere business and not a devotion to the Lord. It is possible to be too busy for Jesus, even though we are doing good things for him. How do we know if we are distracted by much serving? Not just mothers, but all of us. What are the signs that our spiritual health is not in order? Now, one of the signs can be that we are actually bitter with God. Look at the verse again. Who is Martha angry with? She's actually angry with the Lord. She went up to him. She wanted to confront him. "You don't care, Lord." And she's actually irritated with Jesus. Another sign is we begin to compare with others. "She's not doing any work. I'm doing all the work. Tell her to do something. Tell that group to do something. That leader of the church to do something." We begin to compare. And the signs of distraction and much serving are probably best seen in our emotion. And that is something that Jesus revealed in Martha. you are anxious and troubled about many things. And these many things are not what the Lord calls her to do. Martha has become worried and troubled for the things that Jesus didn't ask her to do. He wanted her more than her ministry to him. There is a danger with much serving. If serving is distracting you from communing with the Lord. And this can be true for those of us who serve and for those of us who serve as a mother. Our ministry to others could affect our spiritual health if that is preventing us from drawing close to Jesus. We can grow bitter, angry with the Lord and others. Now, it's important to note that Jesus is not against serving. You look at Jesus' example earlier, I mentioned that he and his disciples just came from a heavy serving ministry. He sent out the 72. The passage right before us, Jesus was talking about the Good Samaritan, and Martha was doing exactly that to Jesus and his disciples. She was being a Good Samaritan to serve him. And the story is definitely not, this story is not about comparing the spiritual life and the physical life, that the spiritual life is more honored than the work life. Both are important. But in putting this passage right after the story of the Good Samaritan, Luke seems to highlight that there must be a balance. To serve others like the Samaritan must be accompanied, or there must be a balance with a personal devotion with Jesus. And our service to others is best set in the context of being in contact with the Lord. Go to the wider extreme. That's not right. If we are serving without the Lord, without our devotion with the Lord, then we will be distracted, we'll be anxious, we'll be troubled. And our spiritual growth is just as important as our ministry to others. Church, is Martha a picture of our lives today? We too have invited Jesus into our lives. Have we left him to one corner, go about our business as usual? Perhaps like Martha, you are always ministering to others, overwhelmed by all the demands and responsibilities in life and everywhere, in ministry, in work. And you are crying out to the Lord, "Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that I have to do all these things?" The truth is, God cares, and he cares very, very much. Look at how he calls Martha. Martha, Martha. When Jesus called Martha, Martha twice, it's very gentle. When you call someone's name like that. This is a woman who is overwhelmed, anxious, troubled, but he calls her back gently. And then he tells Martha, "One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion. One thing is necessary. Choose the good portion." What is the good portion? I saw all of you were excited when I accidentally pressed the next slide. Yeah? I was thinking very hard whether to show this before lunch. But I want you to get the point. When you think about the good portion, I like to think of chicken rice. And don't think about Buntongki, okay? Get your minds back here. What is the good portion of the meat for you? Some people like breast meat, some people like the thigh, the drumstick or the chicken wing. The best portion for me is anything with bones. The point about the good portion is eat the best part. Take the best first. Take the good portion. Definitely not the leftover or the scraps. And that's what Jesus is saying. Feed yourself first. Take the good portion. The good portion that Mary has chosen is to listen to Jesus' words. And there's something Jesus said elsewhere in Matthew. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word from the Lord. And that's what Mary chose. She took up the position of a disciple, sit at his feet. And she said, kitchen duty can wait. Maybe in our context, call Food Panda or something, you know. That will wait. But I only have Jesus for this time now. That is the good portion. His word, his teaching, fellowship with him. The rest wait first. And it's shocking. It is shocking in a culture that women don't receive education, let alone a teaching from a rabbi. In those times, women belonged to the kitchen. But Mary says, this is the good portion. I will not give up anything for this. And Jesus says, yes. She affirms, Jesus affirms then. Women don't belong to the kitchen. She belongs to me. That is the good portion. So the good portion in this context is to allow Jesus to feed you first. Not go around serving him. He says, come. Time with me is more important. And there is no important meal than a communion with him. And that implies the sisters, the Lord wants you to choose him first. He wants to serve you first before you serve anyone else. That is your good portion. And Jesus says that when you choose this good portion, it will not be taken from you, just as he told Mary, because you have chosen the best, God himself. And it will not be taken away from you. Jesus showed us through his example that he too chose the good portion. Because immediately after this story, Jesus tells us, or rather Luke tells us what Jesus did. Chapter 11, verse 1, now Jesus was praying in a certain place. The ministry to others is demanding and draining. A heavy ministry that Jesus just come by, but Jesus chose the good portion. He will take time away and keep his time with his Heavenly Father. He will not neglect this. You know, church, God loves us enough to tell us to choose the best. Don't settle for the leftovers. Give your very best. And the Lord's best is time with him. Your quiet time, your reading of the word, your listening of his teaching. This is the best portion. This is the thing that will nourish you physically, mentally, spiritually. This is the thing, as you listen to God's promises, that will give you strength for your ministry. What does the good portion look like? What does choosing the good portion look like today? How can we help our mothers choose the good portion? Now, first of all, choosing the good portion calls for a commitment. A commitment as an example that we see here, that Mary would choose to sit at Jesus' feet. And that is the picture of a disciple, the posture of a disciple. And setting this priority is to say that the cares of life will not prevent me from consuming God's word. I will put this first. I will eat the good portion first. There's no more important meal than this. And that means that some things will take priority in life. My quiet time with the Lord, my worship to the Lord on Sundays, my alternate Friday cell group, these are the good portion that I will put as my priority first. And I will reserve this time to listen to God's word. And I will also encourage my brothers and sisters to do likewise as I keep to the appointment of to these good portions. I know that some mothers among us also join the Bible study fellowship on weekdays. If that works out for you, that is choosing the good portion. For Martha, it was her service to others that distracted her from choosing the good portion. I speak to my younger friends, youth among us. The thing that distracted Martha was her service to the Lord. What distracts you from the Lord today, my younger friends? Where is much of your time in? School is important. At our ACM later, we have three elders standing for re-election. And elders, your gift of service is a great blessing to the church. But the greater blessing to the church is when you choose to sit at Jesus' feet. Your devotion, your faith, your love for the Lord, your learning and reflection from God's word, your counsel to the sheep with God's word, these are the good portions to the people of God, the blessing to the congregation. Today is Mother's Day, and we heard that mothers are the first to give up themselves, selfless sacrifice. Church, how do we enable our mothers to choose the good portion? Well, every month there is a woman's prayer fellowship, Woman at Prayer, and this is a time of prayer and fellowship for the sisters among us. An encouragement as sisters come together. Well, husbands, can we encourage our wives to go and we take the childcare responsibility so that we can encourage them to go and be fed, find their fellowship? How can we help the younger mothers choose the good portion? Can I ask some of our Christian mothers with grown-up children, you know, check in to the younger mothers once in a while. And don't ask questions about child raising and things like that, but ask questions that, how is your walk with the Lord? What can I be praying for you? They too need the support, and nobody can best understand them unless a mother themselves. Youth. How can you help your mother to choose the good portion? Sometimes mother cannot attend prayer meeting or cell group because they are concerned for their home and their family and you. It takes a lot of maturity and courage to tell your mom, "Don't worry, mom, I'll take care, I'll clean up, you go. Choose the good portion. I will take care of the household." Of course, that takes a lot of maturity and trust. Will you help your mothers in some of the chores so that she can choose the good portion? A simple conversation, a WhatsApp to your mom, encouraging her with Bible verses, praying for and with your mom, all these are helping your mother choose the good portion. This is a very famous picture of Michelangelo's famous painting of it's on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel at the Vatican. It's traditionally called the Creation of Adam. John Ortberg, in his book, God is Closer Than You Think, he interprets this picture. If you look carefully at the picture, you notice the figure of God that will be on your left. God is extending towards the man with great vigor and energy, strength. And God twists his body, because it's just an imagination, a picture. God twists his body to move as close to the man as possible. God's arm is stretched out, his index finger extended forward. Every muscle is torn, stretched. God is rushing towards Adam. And this, in God's entire being, is focused to close the gap between Adam and God. God's hand is just a hairbreadth from the man. Apparently, what Michelangelo wanted to communicate is God's determination to reach out to the person that he has created. But then, having come close, God leaves a little space and freedom. Adam needs to reach out his finger. And he waits for Adam to make that move. Unfortunately, if you look into that picture, Adam doesn't seem very keen. His arm rests on his knee. He extends partially, as though he has not much of an interest to make that connection. Maybe man is indifferent about touching his creator. Perhaps he is just too busy for the Lord. A picture reminds us of who God is and God's desire. God wants to be with us. He desires to commune with us, never too busy or too far from us. All it takes is to lift that finger and to connect with him. Mothers and all, choose the good portion. God desires to be with us more than our ministry to him. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for loving us so much to show us yourself through your word. We thank you for the blessing of giving us mothers. And I pray, Lord, that we will not neglect their spiritual health, and ask that, Lord, you will help every mother and all of us to choose the good portion, because you want to serve us more than we want to serve you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.